Hi, welcome everyone. It's so nice to see faces out here in our audience. I'd like to call to order the Oro Valley Planning and Zoning Commission study session for December 14th, 2021. Ms. Ancona, will you please do a roll call?
Commissioner Bergsma?
Here.
Commissioner Henderson?
Here.
Vice Chair Harrington?
Here.
Commissioner Hong? Commissioner Posey?
Here.
Commissioner Sturman?
Here.
And Chair Gamble?
Here.
Let the record show we have a quorum.
All right, thank you. If you guys will all stand and follow me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Just a few housekeeping items before I open the call to the audience. I just wanted to make sure everybody understood that this is a study session, and tonight there will be no public participation for the agenda items. We are all here to learn more about the four items in regards to the marketplace applicant and application. So no decisions are going to be made tonight because of that. And if any of you are from the public and were wanting to make questions, I would encourage you to come to our January 6th meeting at 6 p.m. right in here when we will have a public hearing on this. So we are looking forward to that and to hearing everybody's input then. So at this time, I'd like to open the call to the audience. Any member of the public is allowed to address the commission on any issue not listed on today's agenda. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual commission members may ask the town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the commission may not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during the call to the audience. In order to speak during call to the audience, please specify what you wish to discuss when you are completing the blue speaker card. And I don't believe we have any blue speaker cards, so I am going to close the call to the audience. And we will now proceed with our first agenda item. Ms. Ancona, will you please read that out for us?
Study session. Discussion regarding four separate items regarding proposed changes to the Oro Valley Marketplace located at the southwest corner of Tangerine and Oracle Roads. The items include Item A, Environmentally Sensitive Lands ESL Zoning Map Amendment. Item B, Request to Utilize the Environmentally Sensitive Lands Mixed-Use Flexible Design Option. Item C, Planned Area Development Amendment. And Item D, Revised Master Development Plan, Conceptual Site, Landscape, and Recreation Area Plans.
All right. Thank you so much. I'm now going to turn the time over to Mr. Spaeth, our staff presenter.
Okay, thank you, Chair Gamble, members of the commission. Before I get started, I would like to point out, if in case you haven't noticed, we did provide the commission with some printouts of the presentation this evening with some areas for you to take notes and follow along as we go along. So please, if you haven't seen that, let Ms. Ancona know. So my name is Michael Spaeth, the current planning principal planner for the town of Oro Valley. And as Ms. Ancona indicated, our purpose tonight is to study the applicant's request for the Oro Valley Marketplace. This is an opportunity for the Planning and Zoning Commission to learn all the technical aspects of each application.
Mr. Spaeth, will you hang on for just one second?
Sure.
Ms. Ancona, will you please let the record reflect that Commissioner Hong came and joined our meeting at 6:04? All right.
Yes.
Absolutely. Those requests include a request to reclassify the central wash area to allow development of a central gathering space known as the Entertainment District, and I'll provide more detail on that during my presentation. The second request is to permit apartments. The third is to revise code standards by amending the planned area development to adjust heights for both the apartments and hotels, landscape buffers, and setbacks, as well as permit a drive-through use in the shopping center. The fourth item is a revised site and landscape design for the new buildings and entertainment district and the associated parking and circulation design changes. And I'll provide more detail on each of these applications as I move through my presentation. Our goal tonight is to address your questions and comments. Tonight we ask you to not state your position or your opinion on the requests, as that will come as part of the formal public hearing next month. We do, however, want to hear your questions and comments. If there is anything we can help clarify, please ask. We want to make sure everyone leaves here with a thorough understanding of all four applications and their relationship to one another and the applicant's requests, so that everyone is prepared for the public hearing next month. So with that, we'll get started. So as was detailed in your staff report, four separate but related applications are required to permit the applicant's proposed site changes. Again, those applications include item A, the Environmentally Sensitive Lands or ESL zoning map amendment, which is required to enable development of the Central Wash area as a central gathering space known as the Entertainment District. Item B is a request to use the ESL mixed-use flexible design option to permit apartment buildings. Item C is a PAD amendment, which again is required to revise development standards and allow that drive-through use. And item D is the revised master development plan and conceptual site plan required to permit the proposed site changes from the applicant. As demonstrated by the graphic on the screen, the first three applications, item A through C, seen at the top, are required to permit item D, the fourth item. Should any of the first three not be approved by town council, the fourth cannot be approved as well. So just to orient ourselves, the subject property highlighted here in yellow is approximately 112 acres in size and is located on the southwest corner of Tangerine and Oracle Road. The existing site design was approved after an extensive public participation process in 2006 and first opened in 2008. The original approvals included a master development plan, a master architectural design guideline, a public art program, and a master sign program. That original design was for 803,000 square feet of retail, restaurant, and office space. And the center was the first shopping center in Arizona to receive the U.S. Green Building Council LEED certification. As part of that approval, the CDO multi-use path connecting to the larger loop trail system was also installed. There was restoration of significant open space areas and the dedication of Big Wash to Pima County for permanent protection, shown here in green. To date, approximately 239,000 or 30% of the site remains undeveloped. Shown on the screen in yellow are all the undeveloped pads in the center. As you can see, a large percentage remains vacant. Also worth noting, this graphic does not take into account the 22 vacant shell spaces within the center. Put together, the site has a significant amount of vacancy. Some of the challenges that affect vacancy rates within centers like this and others is the recent shift toward online shopping, otherwise known as the Amazon effect, and other fundamentals like the level of traffic, income levels in the area, and demographics and density. Taking that last point further, the town recently evaluated the marketplace in relation to other similar regional commercial centers in Arizona in places like Chandler, Gilbert, Scottsdale, and others. So a regional commercial center is larger than a normal shopping center and attracts consumers from a wider area, not just the immediate area. As you can see on the screen, highlighted in the box at right, the marketplace is larger in size than the average center, has a smaller population within the area, about 5 to 7 miles, and also has a smaller population density within that area. This results in a significantly higher amount of commercial space per person. Ultimately, the marketplace has too much supply and not enough people to support the center. So now that we've provided some background, I'd like to go through each of the four applications. First is Item A, the ESL Zoning Map Amendment. This amendment is only for the central open space area shown in blue, towards the right-hand top of the image on the right. The request is to change the type of open space from Critical Resource Area, or CRA, to Resource Management Area, or RMA, to again permit the development of the Entertainment District. The marketplace is included as a growth area on the Your Voice, Our Future General Plan, which represents areas where development and growth are anticipated. Key factors with this request to consider include the plants within the CRA area do meet the density requirements for critical resource area designation. However, this area was a constructed drainage channel as opposed to a natural area. Because the area is fragmented by road crossings, it's narrow, and it's bordered by asphalt parking areas, it has a lower resource value than better, more connected areas like Big Wash. And the applicant's design does maintain the existing drainage flows through this area and will continue to feed into Big Wash. It's also worth noting that no changes are proposed to either Big Wash, shown in green, or the Mesquite Bosque, shown in yellow, as part of the applicant's request. So as stated previously, this request is to permit development of the Entertainment District in the central open space area. The applicant is proposing to change this area from reconstructed open space, as shown on the left, to recreational open space, as shown on the right, which includes things like tot lots, splash pads, wading pools, a sand beach, and shaded seating. The second request, Item B, is a request to use the ESL mixed-use flexible design option. The zoning code enables use of incentives or flexible design options to create better site designs that conserve natural or restored open space areas as environmentally sensitive open space, or ESOs. To utilize these incentives, a site must conserve a minimum of 25% of the area as ESOs. Additionally, when appropriate, the code allows for this ESOs to be provided off-site if there are areas where conservation of natural open space would be more meaningful. In this case, the developer restored 77 acres of Big Wash and dedicated it to Pima County as part of the original development. These 77 acres exceed the requirements of the zoning code to use these flexible design options. The applicant is requesting use of the mixed-use flexible design option, which requires town council approval and calls for residential uses that are functionally integrated into commercial sites. Again, the applicant restored approximately 77 acres in Big Wash as part of that original approval that was previously the site of the original Rancho Vistoso Ranch. As you can see on the image on the left, prior to development, the site was highly degraded and characterized by the impacts of years of farming and ranching. The applicant lowered the area to its natural configuration so the wash could function properly again and planted thousands of trees that have flourished since 2008 into the densely vegetated areas we see today. And those are shown in the middle and right-hand graphics. This was one of the largest restoration projects in history for Tucson and southern Arizona. The third item, Item C, is a PAD amendment to the Rancho Vistoso PAD. As a reminder, a PAD is a zoning document governing a specific area that represents a higher and better level of regulation than the town's zoning code. In this case, the PAD is specific to the Rancho Vistoso area. This request will establish policies for Neighborhood 4 only, shown in yellow at the bottom right-hand corner of the map. I apologize, that's hard to see. Please note there are 13 neighborhoods in the Rancho Vistoso PAD, and the Oro Valley Marketplace is the only development within Neighborhood 4. So this request includes a number of proposed amendments, including increased building heights for certain uses in specific locations, noise mitigation, how recreational needs are being met, setbacks in certain areas along Tangerine and Oracle Roads, permitting drive-through uses without the need for a conditional use permit, and increasing the floor area ratio along Oracle Road. I'd like to briefly focus on the three components of item C that were focal issues during the neighborhood meeting. The first is building heights. The existing maximum building height in the center is 39 feet with an additional 10 feet for architectural features. As discussed in the staff report, the locations for the proposed building height increases were strategically selected based on the unique site circumstances of each. Things like lower grades, separated by from neighbors by Big Wash, and adjacent to the Oro Valley Hospital. So the locations where building height increases are proposed are shown on the screen as follows. So number one is the Tangerine Apartments at the top left of the right-hand image. The proposed height is 75 feet, and that 75 feet is inclusive of architectural features. That location is more than 700 feet, or about 2 football fields from the nearest neighbors, about 10 feet below those neighbors, and adjacent to the Oro Valley Hospital to the north, which is also 75 feet. The Oracle Apartments, shown as number 4 on the right-hand image, has a proposed building height increase of 59 feet, again inclusive of architectural features. That location is more than 1,000 feet from neighbors, and anywhere between 10 and 25 feet lower. The hotels are shown in locations 2, 3, and 5. All have a proposed building height of 49 feet with 10 additional feet for architectural features. And the three hotels range anywhere from 1,200 feet to over 2,200 feet from neighbors to the west. Also worth noting, the building heights for all other sites within the center will remain the same at 39 feet plus 10 feet for architectural features. The second component of the PAD amendment that was a focus during neighborhood meetings was noise impacts. The applicant was required to provide a noise study as there are areas within the center where amplified music is anticipated. The two scenarios that were subject to the study are shown on the screen. The first is live music on patios, the lower left image, and live music on the courtyards, the lower right. The study took measurements in 6 locations shown with the red stars that included homes in the Catalina Shadow subdivision as well as the Oro Valley Hospital. The study found the proposed live music meets the noise requirements of the zoning code with the following conditions. The condition that patios in the Central Open Space Entertainment District are oriented toward the mountains or away from neighbors. When there is live music in the courtyard, a dispersed speaker system will be used to help reduce noise impacts. And that also live music in the courtyard cannot go any later than 10 p.m. So a third component of the PAD amendment I'd like to touch on is about how recreation requirements for the apartment buildings are being met. The zoning code typically requires all rec amenities for an apartment building to be provided on the same lot as the units themselves. The applicant is proposing to use both amenities within the buildings and throughout the center to meet the recreation area requirements. Throughout the center, amenities again include the entertainment district, which I highlighted earlier, as well as the CDO multi-use path that runs along Big Wash. Again, this request helps integrate the applicant's proposal into the existing center. The last request, item D, is for a revised master development plan or conceptual site plan. The proposed changes are for 5 development areas shown in yellow on the right-hand image, and include 2 apartment buildings, 3 hotels, an entertainment district or community gathering space, and a drive-through use near the Oracle Apartments. Please note, town and Arizona Department of Transportation right-of-way, shown here in purple, is required to permit the revised site design. The town acquisition is ongoing and will be processed concurrently with the applications we're discussing tonight. The applicant has been working with ADOT to acquire those portions of right-of-way and expects to be completed in the next few months. These applications will not be scheduled for town council consideration until the anticipated purchase is complete. Now I'd like to briefly walk through the individual development areas within the center. So development area A, and you can keep along with the key map in the top right of the image to see where we are in the overall site. Development area A is where the Tangerine apartments are proposed. There are 500 podium-style units with ground-level parking, with, again, a maximum building height of 75 feet. The amenities included in this apartment building include a clubhouse, pool, gym, movie theater, and dog park. Across Water Harvest Way to the east is the Tangerine Hotel. This is a hotel with 150 proposed rooms, a maximum building height of 49 feet, and this hotel includes a pool as well. In the entertainment district, because we already touched on the recreation amenities, I'd like to focus on the proposed buildings in this area. So there is a hotel proposed for this area as well that is 49 feet and 108 rooms. It also has ground floor restaurant and retail incorporated into the design. The entertainment district also has a courtyard and restaurant space towards Water Harvest Way, where the music we discussed earlier is proposed. In development area D is the Oracle apartment and the drive-through use. The apartments are for 230 podium-style units with ground-level parking with a maximum building height of 59 feet. The amenities included in this apartment building are a clubhouse and pool. And then lastly, development area E is the Oracle Hotel, which is for 112 rooms, again, 49 feet maximum building height, and this hotel has a pool as well. Traffic has been a consistent question during the neighborhood meeting process, specifically traffic impacts to Oracle Road. Ultimately, the anticipated increase to traffic on Oracle Road is minor. Things to keep in mind that are just detailed in the tables on the left-hand side of the image is that the center is not fully built out. Again, about 30% remains undeveloped. And however, the infrastructure that was put in place was designed to handle that full build-out capacity. When comparing traffic counts from the applicant's proposed site design to the approved numbers for full build-out, the added increase to traffic on Oracle Road is expected to be about 5%. So fairly negligible. Should the applicant's revised site design be approved, future applications will be required, including conceptual architecture for both apartments and the three hotels, updates to the public art program, and a revised master sign program. The applications are consistent with the general plan, strategic leadership plan, and zoning code, specifically the general plan guiding principles, goals, and policies relative to view preservation, environmental protection, economic stability, compatibility with surrounding uses, and fostering social gathering places. This project has also been included on both the 2019-2020 and the 2021-22 Town Council Strategic Leadership Plan, and that specific objective is shown in italics on the screen. As many of you know, you helped attend. The public participation process for the project has been extensive. We held two community-wide neighborhood meetings. We created an informational video that was posted online and held four focus group meetings with the four areas shown in the image on the right to have a more in-depth conversation with immediate neighbors to focus on the concerns affecting them. Some common themes throughout that whole process were recognition that the center needed to be revitalized, view impacts, traffic, noise, and apartments. Related to the apartments, the questions related to vacancy rates, income levels of renters, and crime, all of which has been addressed as part of the town's recent apartment study, which is available online on this project's webpage. So in summary, the applicant is proposing a revised site design for the marketplace. And able to permit these changes, the four separate applications are required. The revised site design includes two apartments, three hotels, the central gathering space known as the entertainment district, and one drive-through use. The timeline moving forward, as Chair Gamble indicated, is we do have the public hearing for these applications scheduled for January 6th next year, or I believe it's next year already. And as of right now, the study session and public hearing for town council have not been determined. Again, waiting to have the completed purchase of the ADOT right away, which we hope to have completed in the next few months before we schedule those meetings. So thank you, Chair. That concludes my presentation. And again, please ask any questions you may have. If there's anything we can help clarify, don't hesitate to ask. Again, we want to make sure everyone leaves here tonight fully prepared for the public hearing next month. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Spaeth. And we're going to do things just a little bit differently. Tonight, I spoke with the town staff, and we thought it might be good to have Mr. Spaeth stay there and have all of us ask any technical questions we might have for him, where he may be better prepared to answer in regards to his the town code and his vast knowledge of that. So at this time, I'm going to open up questions for Mr. Spaeth to the commission. Commissioner Bergsma.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. Just a couple of questions. Since the proposed entertainment district would be considered an element of the amenities for the apartment complexes, is that correct?
Chair Gamble, yes.
How far is the entertainment district generally from the two apartment complexes, especially the one on Tangerine? How far would people have to go to get there without driving?
Chair Gamble, Commissioner Bergsma, I'd say it's probably about the 2,000-foot mark if we're using the scale I had for some of this graphic. Maybe closer to 2,500 if you took the arrow there pointing at number 3 and kind of swung it over towards. So I'd say in that 2,500 to 3,000.
About half a mile.
Right. And so keep in mind, of course, you've got the multi-use path there, which so that's right. Part of their recreation, right, getting to the amenities.
Sure. It's an exercise in the process. The second question I have is in regard to phasing. I believe I read, maybe it was in the FAQs, that the apartment complexes are likely to be built first, the hotels later. And then I guess the question is, when would the entertainment district be constructed?
Sure. Chair Gamble, Commissioner Bergsma. So the town zoning code has a requirement that all recreational amenities are installed by the time 35% of units are constructed. And so we would apply that same standard.
Right. Did any other commissioners have questions?
Hello. Gamble. Is it working?
Yep.
Mr. Spaeth, there is an open area down there that has occasionally been used for art and craft shows, car shows, on the RV store. What happens to that space when this develop is completed?
Sure, absolutely. Great question. So, Chair Gamble, Commissioner Henderson, let me see if I can zoom in here for you. So, it's a little tough to tell, but at the very top of this image in the middle of the screen, there's an overflow or event parking area. Unfortunately, I can't have my laser point to the top of it, but it's right up there. There you go. Thank you, Ms. Sims. So that area is intended to be multi-purpose. So it's for the overflow for parking, but also to be used for events like car shows or arts and craft shows or tree lighting, things like that. So that was incorporated.
Mr. Chair Gamble, Mr. Spaeth, is that space the same size or is it changed?
Chair Gamble, Commissioner Henderson, it's bigger than the area that they've been using to date.
Any other comments, Commissioner Henderson?
No, that's all. Thank you, Chair Gamble.
All right, thank you. Do we have anybody else that has questions? Commissioner Posey?
Thank you, Chair Gamble.
My questions, I do have several questions, mostly on the Tangerine apartment complex. What is the requested setback on the sides of Tangerine Apartments and Hotel?
Chair Gamble, Commissioner Posey, so along Tangerine Road, the setback is 30 feet from Tangerine. Is that what you're asking about? And then the multi-use path is going to remain exactly where it is. So there won't be any impacts to the multi-use path.
Okay, from the path, how far would that be from the path to the apartments?
Chair Gamble, Commissioner Posey, I can certainly find that information for you. I don't have that at the top of my head.
Let's see. Also, you said there's no indication on the type of apartments. There are luxury apartments or condo type or anything like that. That'll be later.
Chair Gamble, Commissioner Posey, if you don't mind, I would defer that to the applicant after they do their presentation. They can certainly provide more information on that.
Do you anticipate any build-up areas, like bringing dirt in and making it higher?
Chair Gamble, Commissioner Posey, was the question when they might start construction? Sorry, can you rephrase that for me?
I didn't catch it.
I was trying to multitask.
I think it was about grading the property, right?
Correct. How much build-up do you anticipate from the ground?
Oh, got it. Okay, sorry. I was trying to write and listen at the same time. Apologies. Chair Gamble, Commissioner Posey, so the expectation is that, of course, that area is already graded, right? So the expectation is that there would not be a lot of fill or cut brought into that area. I think they will be mostly using the existing grade in that area, which, again, is about 10 feet lower than Tangerine Road. Of course, it kind of ebbs, right, as you move along to the west, and then it's lower than the Catalina Shadows neighbors to the south and southwest as well.
Okay. Also, on the Tangerine Apartments, I'm still on that. The last, about 5 months ago, on the conceptual, there was another plan, and it had 500 apartments, and now it's set to 550.
Chair Gamble, Commissioner Posey, I think that is meant to say 500. It is 500 units, yes. Yeah, it's all told, it's 730 between the two units. So apologies, that should say 500, not 550.
Just also have a comment that, you know, when you come into town, you travel in the east on Tangerine, that view, you know, that you have, it's explosive. You know, it's so pretty. And I'm afraid that, or it's a concern, that those apartments are too high. 75 foot is really high, and I was, you know, kind of thinking maybe they could lower those. I mean, if they lowered it even one level, it would only be 110 less. I'm guessing 110.
And Chair Gamble, Commissioner Posey, I would certainly defer elaboration on some of that to the applicant. You know, from staff's perspective, again, as we pointed out, the site sits a little bit lower than both Tangerine and the surrounding neighbors. And keep in mind, the predominant view is mostly to the east, right, where the mountains are. So there isn't, if you're in Catalina Shadows, right, so if you're facing north, you see the Oro Valley Hospital, which is 75 feet. And so in working with the applicant, that was kind of the benchmark that we were working with, knowing that there was a building that was already 75 feet that direction. And predominantly views are to the east towards the mountains. And so the taller of the two apartment complexes had initially been along Oracle Road, and the applicant took feedback from that first neighborhood meeting and moved it over to Tangerine so that it would have less of an impact on that kind of predominant view corridor. That's explaining kind of some of staff's rationale for it.
Yes, I do understand that that was, they changed that.
Mm-hmm.
That how about the bike path, the walking path that you come in there? I mean, it's going to really block the view, I do believe.
It will, Chair Gamble, Commissioner Posey, it will have an impact, yes.
It would be great if they could lower that height and have maybe have a setback more.
You know. Okay. We can certainly pass that along, or if you want to ask that question to the applicant, by all means.
I will just say I want you to ask that question again next meeting when we have the public hearing and the public can comment. Because I think that's an important question, and I think a lot of people are going to ask it. So definitely keep that for next meeting. But I think this meeting, we really just want to focus on the technical stuff. Is that okay?
Yes. Okay.
Oh, just about the, if you had any questions that had to do, not with the height, but because we don't want to express opinions tonight. Does that make sense?
Did I express an opinion?
Okay.
No, pass around.
No,
you. I apologize.
You were doing great. I just wanted to make sure everybody knew.
Okay, I did not mean to express my opinion.
You're good.
Asking questions.
Sure.
You're good. No, I just want. Yeah, that will definitely be a very important question. So I don't want you to forget. We definitely want that asked next month. All right, back to you.
I'll save the rest of my questions.
Okay, were there any other commissioners?
Yes, Sherman. I would like to ask a question. If I recall correctly, and help me on that, is when this was first developed, agreed interest was for water harvesting. Mm-hmm. Will that be lost with this type of development, especially with the entertainment area? I thought that was the kind of the collecting area and then going into the big wash.
Chair Gamble, Commissioner Sturman. So just to be blunt, no, it won't affect that. You know, we still have water harvesting requirements in the zoning code that will apply to all the new development as it moves forward. So the central wash area, you know, the water harvesting effort, some was in the landscaping, but a lot of it was focused on rooftops and in collecting the water on the rooftops and then funneling it into the underground tanks that are on the site. And so those things aren't going to be impacted by this. And, you know, the central wash area, as I said, it really was constructed as a man-made drainage channel that was kind of given the natural look to it to kind of make it more aesthetic. And the real goal was to get that water down to Big Wash. And so as part of the applicant's proposal in this area, that drainage is not going to be impacted. What it's going to do is it's going to be culverted underneath these proposed amenities. And so that flow, as it would naturally come through this area, is still going to get into Big Wash. Does that answer your question, I hope? Okay.
Yes, it does. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I have one more question to Chairman Gamble. With the extensive parking areas that we have, is there any insight or any ideas of solar panels throughout the parking areas like they're doing around in Oro Valley South?
Chair Gamble, Commissioner Sturman, the zoning code does not require solar-covered parking, but it certainly encourages it. And if that's something that the applicant or the property owner wants to incorporate everywhere, town would absolutely be in support of that.
All right, Commissioner Hong, do you have questions?
Great plan here. We have three hotels, two apartment buildings, and entertainment district, and drive-through business. It's wonderful, awesome. Truly, would love to see all these developments. But I just would like to also see if there had been any studies done to support the impact, possible impact on the view, traffic, noise, and the environment, because we live in this beautiful place where we kind of care about, you know, keeping it beautiful and, you know, living amongst the nature and all that. So, and I, from what I've been hearing, it sounds as though there won't be much impact. So what I would like to see between now and next meeting, I don't know if this is the right stage to ask, is to see if there had been any studies, and if there had been, if I can get a copy of this report. And if the studies do tend to show that there will be some sort of impact and that there will be some mitigation efforts, what are they, and can I also learn about them?
Sure, absolutely. I'm Chair Gamble, Commissioner Hong. So included in the packet that was sent out last week, there are several things that you asked about. So the applicant provided a viewshed analysis that looks at those potential impacts on views from a number of different areas, in especially in the Catalina Shadows subdivision and along Tangerine and Oracle. I can't remember off the top of my head which attachment it is, but it's labeled viewshed analysis, so I certainly encourage you to take a look at that. And another attachment in there was the noise study that was required of the applicant to take a look at those particular uses, use types that may have amplified music at some point. You know, again, the live music on patios or the live music in courtyards. And so that study analyzes those potential impacts and includes mitigation measures. And those were those conditions that I discussed in terms of making sure the patios are oriented away from neighbors, using the dispersed speaker system, and then also limiting live music in the courtyard until 10 p.m. So if you haven't had a chance to go look at both of those documents, I strongly encourage you to do so. And as far as the environmental impact, again, this area being proposed for the entertainment district was really a reconstructed natural area that was really to serve as drainage to get the water flows into Big Wash. So because the applicant restored such a large swath of Big Wash, 77 acres is a huge restoration project, the overall sum of this absolutely represents a benefit to the local environment in the immediate area around here. And keep in mind, you know, they're proposing to change the type of open space. So the zoning code does include a number of different types of open space. So there are open space ways to meet the needs of the community. And that's what's being proposed. So I hope that answers some of your questions, but by all means, we can elaborate further if you'd like.
Lighting. It will definitely be a lot brighter than it is right now.
Chair Gamble, Commissioner Hong, they will be required to comply with the town's lighting standards, which will essentially look and mimic what's out there today.
Thank you.
Sure.
And one other thing, you do have site tours that we'll be doing mm-hmm. before the other meeting too, and we'll be able to get an idea of what the building heights will look like on those as well. So that will be very helpful, I think. All right. Vice Chair Harrington?
Thank you, Chair Gamble. Well, some of the questions I had was for the entertainment district as far as the ADA compliance. Of course, it's hard to see from a 10,000 square foot, you know, looking mm-hmm. up from above. I want to see how the connectivity to the on both sides, how that connects. And one other question I had is to see how the connectivity of the walking path or pedestrian from each one of the different projects. There's multiple different projects going on one site. And to see how their connectivity from the apartments to the hotel or to shopping, how that connects. It's hard to piece together how they're going to get back and forth with the increased traffic in the center. So I'd like to see how they're connecting the pathways, and I'm looking to make sure there's no accidents or incidents sure. at the site. I'm sure the owner is as well, but I can't see that from the information I have. So I'd like to see how that's, you know, is the maybe put the lighted pathways on the ground where they can see at nighttime, especially if they're coming from entertainment and being there 9, 10 o'clock at night, see how they get into the apartments or to the shopping and et cetera. I'd like to see something more detailed on that.
Absolutely. Sure.
Thank you, Chair.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Bergsma.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. Getting back to the viewshed analysis, I did review that, and it appears to me that you're looking at, well, a number of views from the west, I guess, Catalina Shadows, mm-hmm. looking toward the mountains and so on. I only saw one that looked like it might actually slightly affect the view of the mountains from Catalina Shadows. I think that was view five. But Commissioner Posey raises a good question in that I don't think any of those points of view were looking east on Tangerine. And so it might be good to take a look at that view and how that might be affected by the apartment complex next to Tangerine.
Okay. Chair Gamble, Commissioner Posey, I do believe I saw one of those in there, but by all means, we can certainly bring that to the front so it's more obvious.
Yeah, I know there were some views across Tangerine, I believe, and across Oracle, but I don't recall that I saw one looking east on Tangerine. So that might be, if it hasn't been done, it might be good to have one of those.
Okay, absolutely. Thank you.
And then maybe that's a stop we can put in on the site tour as well. That help?
I'll get it sooner or later. Thank you. I just wanted to add a little bit to the lighting question, because it's a very good question. The lighting that would occur would be no greater than if it were developed, fully developed commercially. So, you know, a vision one might have that if there's a 75-foot-high apartment building, perhaps there's a worry that there'll be lighting at, you know, at 60 feet. The code doesn't allow you to slide lighting up that high. The lighting has to be more toward ground level, and it's kept to a low level, meaning, I forget the specific number, but it's in the neighborhood of 12 feet. Can't go higher than that. So, you know, the proposal is for taller buildings, but that doesn't translate into taller lights, if that's helpful.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Henderson, did you have another question?
Yes, Chair Gamble and Mr. Spade, I understand I cannot express an opinion, but I express a concern of the fellow commissioner. I've heard Commissioner Posey and Commissioner Hahn, and maybe Mr. Bergsma, Commissioner, about the height of various structures. And I'll just say I am with them in a concern for that height. That's not an opinion.
Right. Chair Gamble, yes. Commissioner Henderson, thank you.
All right, do we have any other staff questions? Just yet? Okay. I am going to turn the time over to the applicant for their presentation, and then we'll reopen questions up for the applicant as well. Thank you. Mr. Spaeth.
Good evening. It's great to be here in person. Carrie Sylvan with Lazarus and Sylvan. We are going to cue a quick video, and then Mr. Horvath's going to come up for a couple of slides, and then I'll come back up, and we'll also try and address some of the questions as part of my presentation. So thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Jim Horvath. I'm the CEO and founder of Town West Realty, Town West Design Development. I want to introduce my son, Toby, and the rest of our team. Of course, Kerry Sylvan, you all know. David Little from WLB, and Tatiana Bressler from Eglin Bressler Architects. Town West was established in February of 1980, so we're rapidly approaching our 42nd anniversary. We're a family-owned, local Tucson developer investing in this region. We purchased the Oro Valley Marketplace in September of 2019, and we are thrilled about the opportunity to reimagine this property and work with the town to bring forward this exciting vision. Town West has a great track record, and we've developed many projects in this region, been developing, owning, operating, and repositioning projects in Arizona. We help rebuild and improve communities one building and one project at a time. The top photo that you see here is the Casa Presidio Apartments. It was a dilapidated, boarded up HUD structure. The one of the local city of Tucson council members approached us and asked us to get involved, step in and purchase it and redevelop it. We did that about 10 years ago, and it was actually won a community award for the redevelopment. It's still a highly regarded project in the area, and it led to other properties being redeveloped or rehabbed as well. The middle one that you see here is a shopping center in Chandler. It's called Chandler Crossings, and it was partially developed and sat for about 8 years, and then we stepped in and built 185,000 square feet, including a basis school, a Alamo Drafthouse Cinema Theater and restaurant, and a variety of other retail and restaurant establishments. The area has since exploded with development, and this project was a catalyst for that. The third project, or lowest project, is a project you're probably familiar with. It's called Plaza del Oro Shopping Center at Orange Grove and Oracle, northeast corner. And that was purchased by us about 20 years ago. And this is the first redevelopment of it, shown on the right. And since then, we've redeveloped it or repositioned it again, adding Hobby Lobby and relocating the CVS. And so it's a similar look, but even more more updated. And since we did that project, the first phase of the project, two of the other corners have done rehabs on their property as well. So again, it was a catalyst for future development. This slide shows the Sam Hughes Place, which was at 6th and Campbell, the corner of 6th and Campbell, across from the University of Arizona. And the before picture is what was the Sam Heck Mental Health, abandoned mental health facility that was owned by the state. We purchased it from the state and developed the Sam Hughes Place, which is mixed-use infill retail, high-end construction, had retail on the ground floor and condos on the second and third floor of the main building, and then townhomes surrounding it. And the last project to the far right was formerly an abandoned medical building owned by TMC, and we redeveloped it into a state-of-the-art imaging and diagnostic center. It was one of the largest in the Southwest United States at the time, and also a Class A office building. So gives you an idea of some of our projects, and of course there are many more. We commit to our projects. We generally own them. We work closely with the community towards success. Our centers operate at a very high occupancy rate, usually levels over 95%. We have worked hard since owning the marketplace to keep spaces full and re-tenant. We learned that Dick's was leaving, and in partnership with the town, we were able to attract Dashley Furniture. We brought new tenants like Tuck Tuck Tie, Peach Wave, Lewis and Ivy, Backbenders, and H&R Block. We are working tirelessly to save the movie theater, Best Buy, and Red Lobster have all struggled and are, you know, seriously considering whether they want to continue at that location. So it's really important what happens here to the future success of this project and to this amenity being part of the town. We have some new tenants coming to the center, including Hoppy Vine and Pima Heart, who are in the planning and construction phase, and several other tenants in the process of negotiating leases or letters of intent. We study what works in our region and other communities before implementing ideas. We understand that breathing new life, vibrancy, and creating opportunities for communities is what succeeds for everyone. I'm going to turn this over to Kerry Sylvan. I just wanted to say the Town West is incredibly excited about this project and to work with the town to turn the town's vision as well as ours into reality. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. We just wanted to give you a flavor of some of the work that Town West has done. I realize it's not specific to the site, but we think it's important because I know there's been some struggles in the past with this particular property owner, meaning the Oro Valley Marketplace, in trying to find a true partnership to move things forward. And I think we wanted to demonstrate we have that partner here. So we're excited about the project and working with the community. One of the things that was really important to Town West in 2019 when they were looking to purchase this was to truly understand the town's commitment and the town's vision for the Oro Valley Marketplace. You've seen in the staff report, there's a lot of policies that support the vision that's come forward. What we know from the very beginning of working with Vestar as this project started, that the town's commitment was to really partner and work on a regional lifestyle, entertainment, and power retail shopping center. What we also found when we did that research back in 2019 was the Oro Valley Town Council strategic plan has committed to, quote, work with the owner of Oro Valley Marketplace to develop a multifaceted, mutually agreeable approach to attract and retain new investment and an expanded customer base to that center. Some other quotes from the economic development strategy, the best way to shape the future economy is to help create it, not only for current residents, but for future children, grandchildren, and generations to follow. We want to, quote, attract retail to Oro Valley that's supported by area demographics, attract talent. The town wants to identify opportunities to increase tourism investment in the community. And the last quote, your voice, our future plan, includes a vision for a complete community, one in which connections for residents to live, recreate, dine, and shop are created within the community. The town needs to continue to focus on ways in which existing and planned retail areas can be successful, given the current retail shopping trends affecting the entire country. This vision was exciting to the Town West when they read about it, and then the discussions that they had with various town staff and town officials. And please note that all of the visuals from this slide, while they would match any of the visuals we would create, they're actually from the town's own documents. It's very much a match in vision. The opportunities in the Oro Valley Marketplace are incredible. There are some questions about how this affects open space. We have a tremendous amount of open space. As you all know, Catalina State Park with 5,500 acres of preserved open space right across the street. The dedication to recreation, the Loop Trail. Again, this project built that as well as restored the Big Wash. This is 112 acres that was always intended to be developed. It's designed for it. It's graded for it. Usually I'm standing in front of the town of Oro Valley talking about developing in areas that aren't developed yet and sometimes have no infrastructure. we're here. This is it. This is the spot. This is the spot for this growth. And we'll talk a little bit about the site conditions as well, because it is a lower site from everything surrounding it, which is important. The other synergies you can see in this map, we have employment opportunities with Innovation Parkway. Many of you heard the announcement about Leonardo's relocation to Oro Valley, and understanding what's going on with this center was a piece of that, of those discussions. We have quality education, we have healthcare, we have the open space. Oro Valley's got it all. And now we want to create kind of the entertainment and the quality of life piece as well, and that central town core, which I think, having done this for 23 years in Oro Valley, that's always been a discussion about where is our central town core. So our collective challenge, this was mentioned by staff prior to COVID-19, everybody's ideas of shopping and retail were already starting to change. Dick's Sporting Goods, Cost Plus World Market, Big Lots, GNC have all closed, and as you heard from Jim, there's a few others that are struggling right now, are aware of this vision, and we're trying to get them to hang on. Oro Valley Marketplace in its current form and its current path and trajectory is just not sustainable for where we are in our sense of place. This is bigger than a commercial redevelopment in the sense that we are really trying to create a sense of community and a space. And part of the reason we wanted to show those videos, I know that's not normally a planning exercise, is because it's really hard to show that sense of community that we're trying to create in plans that are two-dimensional and me talking about it. So it gives you a little bit more of a sense of that community. We all need this project to be successful. The town needs increased revenues, tax revenues. The community wants this sense of place to experience and be a part of the community and the central core. And the owner is really wanting to create a sense of community and, of course, a financially viable project. And it's time to create that. We're really excited about it. A few other kind of big picture, and then we'll dive in. We've also learned that while pre-pandemic, a lot of employers drove employment growth, meaning they made decisions on where to locate, what we've discovered is during the pandemic, our idea of how to work has changed. We can all work from home. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing might depend on your home life. But we can work from home. And so what employers are starting to do is pay attention to where their employees are choosing to live, and then that's what's driving where they're officing and their locations. So those communities that create these kinds of sense of place are really the communities that are going to thrive in this new economy as these changes start to take place. A gentleman named Richard Florida, who's a credentialed visionary through ULI and other organizations, came to Tucson over the summer, and I think some of the leaders from Oro Valley were there, and he talked about this change and the need to really, for communities that are going to come out of this COVID-19 and this new economy as successful are the ones that really focus on creating this sense of place. We also know that post-pandemic, we're still going out for experiences. We're all sort of very excited to see each other in ways that I'm not sure we were a year and a half ago. So we need these places for connection in this sense of town core. And what's aligned right now is a current developer in a town that have that common vision. There are some critical ingredients that are important to make this sort of retail-dential center work, and we've studied them in other jurisdictions. And it's a combination of more population. The staff report talks a little bit about those, Mr. Spaeth mentioned it, those difference in population within 5 to 7 miles in other communities that have been successful with less retail. We need more population, and Oro Valley is almost built out. So the communities where this works is we need to build up. And I know there's concerns about height, and I want to address some of those. But we need that. We need the living. We need the people living on the site. The tourism is critically important. Again, centers that have repositioned have put the hotels exactly in the middle so that people show up. They might even book a hotel room just to participate in an entertainment or an activity that's taking place on the site. We've seen that in other central core areas. The entertainment, really creating the arts culture, to somebody's point, this is a bigger space where we can do a lot more with the car shows and the other amenities up in that northern area, as well as the dining and the retail. So this is a plan that's familiar to you because Mr. Spaeth had it up a little bit. These are the areas. Again, they're the graded pads. They're ready for development. These are the areas that we're looking to incorporate those pieces. It's an exciting opportunity to take those vacant and underutilized areas. The man-made wash currently acts as a barrier for all intents and purposes between what sometimes feels like two different centers. So the ability to convert that still is open space, but convert it to an activated open space really can bring that all together. And Vice Chair Harrington, I heard you loud and clear on the pedestrian connectivity. I do not have an exhibit that punches that out in this presentation, but it'll be there in the one in a few weeks. So that pedestrian connectivity is critically important because we want people out of their cars. You see the A and D are the two spots for the apartments, and I'll get into that in just a minute. And then B, C, and E are the areas for the hotels. I want to give a little bit of context, and Commissioner Posey, you highlighted this when it comes to heights. The context on this site is really important. Mr. Spaeth indicated it's lower. It's significantly lower. So even adjacent to Tangerine at that lowest spot, it's 10 to 12 feet higher in elevation when you're driving across, and then it goes all the way up to 88 feet when you get to the intersection. Oracle Road is about 10 feet higher, and then again, all the way up to 88 feet. So from the intersection. So in all of those areas, this is a lower area of the site. The closest home we've already talked about is to the west. It's anywhere from 800 to 1,700 and more, and then anywhere from 15. We had 15 to 50 feet. There may be some that are only 10 feet, but I think it's 15 feet higher. And the views are really to Push Ridge. I think in our view analysis, we did some pictures on Tangerine looking that direction. So we can take another look at that and make sure it matches what I think Commissioner Bergsma requested. But I do think, to Chair Gamble's point, when we do the site visit, there'll be some opportunity because it's hard to take pictures and get the exact view you're looking for because we point the camera, and if we miss what you're looking for, then we've missed it. But when you're physically there, we're going to be putting up some balloons and some other things that'll demonstrate the height. So I think that'll be helpful to the discussion. Couple clarifications on the heights, and actually most of this is just repeating, but the current PAD is 39 feet plus the 10 feet for architecture. The hotels, we're asking for the full 49 feet, which is currently permitted with the architecture, but then an additional 10 feet for architecture. That's for those three hotels. The apartments, we have made the heights inclusive of the architecture, so there's no additional heights. Oracle Road, half of that building will be the 49 feet that we're asking for the hotels, but again, inclusive of architecture. Only 50% of that Oracle Road building can be at the 59 feet. And that's as Oracle Road goes up, so it'll be the half of the building to the north. On the Tangerine Road, we indicate that the maximum is 75 feet. You've already heard a lot of that discussion, which is the same as Oro Valley Hospital. Oro Valley Hospital is a little bit higher, but only about 20% of those buildings are actually at 75 feet. So that's the maximum. And the idea is that that's kind of on the corners, and it allows us to create some different architectural variations in the roof line and still be able to maintain the five stories, which is important, and I'll explain why in just a minute. So staff has gone through most of this. I'm just going to point out a couple of things that I think were asked. We're really excited about the Oasis Park and that center courtyard area, again, to the north, which is actually on the left side of your screen. Is that event parking, which is also multi-use space and can be a lot of things and is larger than the areas we currently use. The central space has the playgrounds and the splash pads. And then the southern area, we've got a potential for the Oro Valley Park, arts, culture, entertainment, and then the southern area with the restaurants. And now we have cool pictures that show up that tell you what the vision can look like. And these are obviously from other places. I don't know how many of you have been downtown, either yourself or with your kids or grandchildren or nieces, nephews, whatever. There's an ice skating rink, believe it or not, in downtown Tucson. And so there's an opportunity to maybe recreate that here around the holidays in that open space. This just gives you a sense of that southern area, that town park area, again, arts, culture, entertainment, and a sense of gathering. Staff mentioned we did the noise study, and we've incorporated those recommendations into our PAD amendment. So there were specific recommendations of orientation for amplified music, and again, it's in the PAD amendment, and I believe that noise study was attached. These are some other visuals of the types of things that inspired that are from communities where these kinds of spaces have been incorporated into developments and have really worked to bring things forward. These are just a couple of visuals that show you how this can all orient. That is not the architecture. These are artist renderings because these next two slides do not incorporate the architectural requirements for the Oro Valley Marketplace. So this gives you, it's a little bit closer, gives you the idea of a retail space and then hotel as well. And then this gives you an idea if you walk out of the movie theater and you look to the right, you've just watched a movie, your kids, grandkids, or you are a little antsy, want to blow off some steam, can go into this area, grab some food, maybe when my kids were young, drink a beer while they go blow off steam so that hopefully they go to bed. So it gives you an idea. Right now you leave the movie theater and you pretty much get in your car and go someplace else, or we have restaurants there that you can stop in as well, but this gives a little bit more of a community space. This gives you a better idea of what the architecture will look like when we incorporate the architectural guidelines from the Oro Valley Marketplace. The apartments, the exciting part that brings forward a lot of discussion. These are really important to the vision, and we've researched projects that have repositioned, and there is a demand and a need for, and I'll answer the question, luxury-style condominium-type apartments, because that's what these are. These are not the garden apartments that you see with the parking all the way around. Those generally take about 15 acres of land to be economically viable with 300 units. They're not a very expensive compared to the luxury style build because of the types of materials that are used. So what we're proposing are the parking is underneath or incorporated into the building so the parking is you won't be able to see it. You pull in. And these are definitely more expensive builds. One of the questions that's been asked in the neighborhood meetings is why are you not just building condos? The answer is because there's no proven market in Oro Valley for condominiums. Therefore, there's no financing available. But what we are doing is building them to the condo building requirements so that in the future they can be condominiumized. So they're apartments. You're going to walk into a building. You're going to access everything internal. There's a significant amount of entertainment space within these buildings as well that I'll show you in a minute. But again, we want to encourage our residents to go out and use the rest of the center as well when they are living there. Make sure I make all my points. The market for these apartments are empty nesters. And by the way, I had pulled some of the data out from the apartment study. So if you have questions about that, I'm happy to try and answer, although it's the town study, but I'm not going to go over that. So the market for this is really the empty nesters and young professionals, families in transition with career and job changes, people who like to travel. They want this type of secure amenity where they're living in these kinds of spaces, the condo type living. As I mentioned, it's different than the garden apartments. I already gave you a reminder kind of about height, but this gives you a sense of the views. And as staff mentioned, we originally put the higher hotel, apartments, on Oracle Road. And actually those had, because it's a smaller site, it's about 7 acres, that had height that went as high as 80 feet. And what happened was after the March 2020, I believe it was the last neighborhood meeting before COVID shut everything down, we really had some robust discussions with staff based on community feedback about moving the higher apartment over to Tangerine. So we significantly lowered, again, it's 49 feet and 59 feet over on Oracle. And then we didn't go as high. It's a little bit of a larger site. So we still needed the 5 stories, but we didn't go as high on the Oracle side as Tangerine. We really used Oro Valley Hospital, again, as our litmus test for that. So this just gives you a sense of the views. This is the Tangerine apartment, so a couple of things I want to note. The 75 feet is not the entire length, obviously, of the building, and there are architectural features and undulations, which our architect is going to kill me for using that word because that is not an architecture term, but you all know what I mean. There's architectural differentiation. She's going to kill me. In the building as well. So the 75 feet is really only about 20% of the building. This is one of the buildings. So there are separate buildings as well, and so we've incorporated view sheds into the space as we've created these apartments. So what you'll see in this picture is there's the one building that's closest, and then the smaller building is the clubhouse, and then there's another building on the other side. And so these all have the view sheds as well for the folks to the west and the folks on the path. So it won't be this really long sense of a building. It will be broken up. The Oracle Road apartments I've mentioned already are the 4 stories and 5 stories. So this is the 4-story segment at that 49 feet. There's 229 units. These both incorporate that central courtyard area as well with the swimming pool. This is the 5-story component. We're showing the parking on the external. That's mainly for the retail, and there may be some retail on the first floor. The actual parking for the structure is incorporated within the building. So the first 2 floors are parking, and then the 3rd floor is that open courtyard space, and then there's additional apartments on top. So that's kind of what you saw in the other picture. The hotels, as I've mentioned, there's 3 of them. The total number of units is about 370, the height at 49 feet with the additional architecture. This is the Tangerine Hotel, 150 rooms. We are incorporating the parking as well for the hotels on the hotel site. So the idea is that those apartment users, as well apartment residents, and the hotel users will have the parking on site. So they're not going to be competing with the retailers. And that was very important as well to when we go to attract the retailers and keep the retailers. This is the Oracle Hotel as well. This just gives you a flavor of how they can fit in with the architectural requirements. We're not requesting any modifications to the architectural requirements. I'm not going to get into this slide very much. We had an economic report done on the economic impact. The only thing I want to highlight is there is a specific economic impact to adding 730 apartments on the site that is really important because it's important for the retailers and the folks who want to be on this site, and it's really important for the overall economy in the area. So that's that second column. And this is a significant investment. As Jim said when we practiced this earlier today and I glided through this, he was, you know, it's $336 million of investment. I said, I promise I will say that into a microphone. So it is a significant investment and an exciting one, I think, for the town and for the community. Neighborhood outreach was touched on. We did an extensive amount of neighborhood outreach and on purpose because this is an important project. 6 neighborhood meetings, 2 were required. We had 4 that were focused on issues related to our closest neighbors. Staff did a great summary. I've highlighted the primary concerns that we heard as well. The traffic, I think, is well addressed in the staff report. Talked about the needs for the hotels and the apartments. The heights, One of the things I want to touch on the height, the question of can you go lower? Because this is not the first time we've heard that. Here's the issue with going lower. Many of you know construction costs are only escalating, and we expect them to continue escalating. There was a hope about 6 or 7 months ago where we heard they were going to level off or maybe correct. They have not leveled off nor corrected. They started to not go up quite as much for a little while, but they're still going up. So when we talk about taking a property and putting parking and then podium over and then doing 5 stories on top and keeping everything enclosed with elevators and the other pieces of this that are important for that condo-type living, it's very expensive. You have to have the units to be able to pay for it. So as we've crunched the numbers on these two, the Tangerine and the Oracle, we really have brought... We know it would be easier to come before you with shorter buildings. So we're not here to make things difficult for everybody. We understand the concerns, but I also think that the context of the site is important. And if we're going to make this work, we really do need those heights. Water conservation, I think, was brought up by Commissioner Sturman. That is a commitment from the very beginning. I actually represented Vestar when we started this project, which I know was 17 years ago because I went on maternity leave to have my twins, who are about to be 17 years old. So somebody else from my office took it over. But it's been very important. Those cisterns are still there, and it will continue to be an important part of the project as we move forward. Lighting was mentioned. Wildlife movement is still happening, and the Big Wash will continue to happen. Noise we've addressed and drainage we've addressed. This is our vision. We share it with the town. We're really excited about it, and we have one more really short video because I think it's cool and it feels good. So we'll do that, and then we'll take questions.
Can you remember one place where you could take your grandkids, do all your shopping, learn a new skill, cheer on your team, fall in love, and call home? It's time to build a place like this for us all to remember. It's time to reimagine the Oro Valley Marketplace. Presenting the Oro Valley Village Center. A 112-acre village containing everything necessary to create an unforgettable experience.
The last thing I realized I forgot to address, Commissioner Posey asked this question, the setback from Tangerine. So from the property line, it is 30 feet, but from the edge of the right-of-way, it's actually 140 feet. And Tangerine to the building, to the proposed building. So there's a bunch of ADOT right-of-way, which actually will, I think, may end up our property, I'm not sure, but when you go to the edge of the actual lane, that's probably the right word, not the road, the actual physical paved road to the building is 140 feet. And the road is actually elevated starting at the spot where the apartments do. So you're not on the same elevation and you're about 140 feet away. The path, the loop, those measurements change as you go, as you ride your bike or walk near it. It's definitely closer, and I know that that we can get those measurements for you. And there's a couple places where it's right up against the path. But again, The building isn't 75 feet all the way across. There are portions of it. And as we do the design, we're going to be taking that into consideration. I'm done now, and I'm ready to take questions.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Sullivan. I'm going to turn the time over to commissioners for more questions.
Thank you. If I may, Chair Gamble, I'd just like to establish for the record that Commissioner Henderson has an excused absence and has left the meeting at 6:59 for the record. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for that. All right, commissioners. Commissioner Bergsma.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. So this is an exciting project. It's good to have a local developer involved with this. It's a big investment. Part of the apartment complex, as I understand, I mean, there's a demand for more apartments in this area. Certainly the town's apartment study demonstrated that. The increase in rents in the market is an indication of that. Hotels, I'm not quite as understanding of why we're proposing three hotels here. What kind of market analysis has been done to determine there's a need for three hotels?
Chair Gamble and Commissioner Bergsma, thank you, because that was in my notes, and I think I skipped over it, so I apologize. It's a good question, and frankly, I think that all of us, as COVID-19 hit, thought it would be potentially the death of the hotel industry. What we've discovered is there's a significant amount of pent-up demand, and our hotels are getting booked, and I don't have the data. I actually put a call into the Convention and Visitor Bureau today. I've seen the data, but I really wanted it refreshed before I blathered something that isn't current and true. But I know we're starting to, we really are ramping up. The other things that we've heard, we've got a number of businesses in Innovation Parkway, Roche Ventana, now Leonardo going in. And what they've told our group is that we would like to be able to put, when we have people traveling and they've got people coming in and out, right, of, and sometimes they're transient workers. They're here for, you know, maybe a couple of weeks, maybe a few days, might even be here for a little while longer. And they've got to put them up further away from the site, so from their employment location. So what they were excited about was it's three hotels, it's 370 rooms, so they're split into kind of smaller chunks. They liked the idea of being able to put people up at the hotels, and then they can actually use the loop, right, and walk and get themselves over without having to get into a car. So it's a combination of we're hearing from a lot of people that there's demand and they want this ability, as well as some of the data, which, again, I don't have the numbers, but I will next time. I just didn't want to start throwing out numbers. Does that help?
That helps. Thank you.
All right. Other commissioners? Commissioner Hung.
Yes, related to the hotel, I understand apartments will be that of luxury style, you know, condos level built. But for the hotel, I did not get the idea what type or what level it is. Is it going to be, you know, 4-star, 5-star, or is there any hotel chain that you may have in mind this time?
Sure. Chair Gamble and Commissioner Hung, can I say the chains or no?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So we actually have a lot of interest from Marriott and Hilton, right?
Hilton.
Hilton.
The Oasis Park Hotel and the park being built together simultaneously along with one of the apartment projects. And that would probably be a Hampton Inn, just to get a little touch on your question. The RevPAR, average rates for hotels, RevPAR, is projected to go up 22% in 2022. There's quite a bit of demand for these limited service hotels, and they seem to be very successful right now. We also think there's a good demand work-related or business-related during the week, and then tourism-related on the weekends. So, and we have more data that we'll make available to you. And some of the other types of hotels would be Embassy Suites, not necessarily Marriott Courtyard, but similar, possibly a Marriott brand and two Hilton brands is what we're probably looking at.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Hung, did you have any other questions?
So there will be a lot more number of people moving into the area, it sounds like, definitely. And there will also be a transient population moving through the area after it gets built. I did not hear much about, and it could just be the town concern, but will there be more police or more security measures available to oversee the area and the population that will reside or, you know, pass through?
Good question, Commissioner, or I'm sorry, Chair Gamble and Commissioner Hung. I'll answer this partially, and then I'm not going to speak for the police department, but there is a substation on the site, and that will continue. And I know our management and our owner have a really great relationship with the Oro Valley Police Department. And we've had that discussion. We've spoken to the chief of police, and actually part of the market study for apartments acknowledges too that the crime per capita in apartments is actually less than it is in single family residential. And they've worked really hard. The police department has it with the managers of a lot of the 12 apartment complexes that currently exist in Oro Valley, to go ahead and make sure that those are managed appropriately when it comes to crime. Yeah.
And Chair Gamble, Commissioner Hong, so I can address the second part of your question. So yes, when new development comes in, the police department also evaluates that and makes determinations on whether they need to increase the number of police officers in certain areas. So that's definitely something that gets evaluated as the project moves forward.
All right. Did that answer your questions? Or do you still have more? Commissioner Sturman.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. You know, one of the things that I noticed in your artist renderings of the apartments, and it seems to be a dominant feature about apartments, is that I noticed all the parking around the building structure. But there always seems to be a demand for carports. And I'm kind of concerned, do you anticipate a demand for carports because of our harsh climate we have in the summer times on automobiles?
Chair Gamble and Commissioner Sturman, I'll go back and I will revisit those renderings, because in both of the apartments, the parking is actually going to be the Tangerine Road apartments. All of that parking is going to be under the building. So it'll feel like a carport in the sense that you're going to pull under the building if you live there, and you'll be parked shaded under the building with building wrapped around so that we don't have, you know, the parking lot lights or the car lights looking out. In the Oracle apartments, the parking is actually the first two stories of the building. So that one is actually a parking garage. So on the Oracle Road apartments, we did show some of the parking around. That's mainly for the retail space and for guests. But the actual people living on the site will have the parking spaces that are covered. It's not an individual carport, but they're covered and in those spaces. And that's one of the highlights, too, of the luxury. I think there is an expectation that you're going to have an ability to park your car not out with the rest of the center and the rest of the retail. Did that answer your question, or did I miss it?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
All right. Vice Chair Harrington.
Okay. Thank you, Chair Guillermo. I have a few questions, mainly about the Tangerine apartments. Several questions. First, is it going to be sub-metered on all the Tangerine apartments? Do we know that?
Is it going to be what?
Yes. Sub-metered.
Yes.
Okay.
The answer is yes.
Okay. Thank you. The next question is it going to be a gated community?
It'll be secured. Gated is a, I always think of a subdivision and a gate, and right, if there's a guard there. So it's all of the access will be into the building So you won't be able to access units outside of the building, and it will be appropriately secured. I don't know. We don't know exactly what that security would look like.
Yes, it is gated.
Okay.
Both apartment projects are gated.
Yeah. Yes, they're both gated.
Controlled access with air-conditioned hallways and elevators.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at. Controlled access with elevators.
And a lobby, similar to true condominium.
And I'm just repeating it so it's on the record, not because you all can't hear them. It's got a lobby as well and elevators. I think I got everything.
Thank you for that. Next is a question about the internal parking as far as the podium build that you're building. Do we have a rough estimate of how much parking internally for the Tangerine Apartments? The reason why I'm asking is I'm wondering how many guests that may visit the site that may not be parking in the underground or podium build of part of the parking.
Hang on.
I don't know the exact numbers, but
I have the exact number. Hang on. Yep. 1,036 parking spaces at the ground level that will be underneath, and so that's for 500 units.
Thank you for that. And my next question is also a part ownership as well as part for town. One of my questions is, we talked about the building height, 75 feet. My question is that 75 feet with the screening of the mechanical units on the roof, or is that 75 feet okay, with the mechanical units?
For the record, that is 75 feet inclusive of all architectural treatments and the screening of the mechanical equipment on the roof.
Okay. One final follow-up question to that is, well, for the Tangerine Apartments, is do we have a proper ladder from the fire department to reach that? Have that been confirmed or notified by the town?
For that one. Thank you. Chair Gamble, Commissioner Harrington. So when this project first came in, the Golden Ranch Fire Department was one of the reviewing agencies. And when you get over a certain height, I believe it's 30 feet, you actually have to provide more space so that those ladder trucks can get to all four sides of the building. And so, yes, the Golden Ranch Fire Department has not indicated that they don't. So I take that as that they're comfortable with the design as it was proposed.
And I have one other follow-up question for that far as the fire department issue. Now, the fire hydrants, do we know if they're like 300 feet from each other or is it required for the site or location?
Sure. Chair Gamble, Commissioner Harrington. So, Vice Chair Harrington, excuse me. So the fire hydrants that are out there today were based off of that approved design when this area was for office developments and things of that nature. So should these applications be approved and it gets into the more final design stage, that will definitely be something the Golden Ranch looks at to see if there is a need for more fire hydrants. You know, they'll look at the water capacity, too, to make sure that there's enough riser mechanical equipment to make sure that it's fully sprinklered as well. So does that answer your question?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
And I have one follow-up question for the applicant about the hotel that was mentioned.
Sorry.
On the hotel that's being built, are we adding conference areas in the hotels? I know there's several hotels. Are there conference space? The reason why I'm asking is if you have a conference at the hotels, then you're probably needing more parking, or has that been accounted for?
Do you want
to? Sure.
I'm not going to repeat what he says from his seat. I'm going to make him come up here.
There's limited conference areas. They're relatively small, not like the Hilton conference space that's there. Would not be designed to compete with them. And the park, there's sufficient parking on site to account for that space as well. And then there's additional overflow parking that's being built. One of the things I don't think we pointed out, but there's a lot of parking being built to the east of the property along the right-of-way on Oracle Road that we're acquiring from the state as well. So.
And one more quick point on the fire, that Tangerine Road apartment will be fully sprinkled as well as all of the answers that you got from those questions.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. You know, one of the things that I've been really interested in terms of water conservation And since these are going to be luxury apartments, are you going to have constant warm water circulating through the piping system?
Oh, the issue in this town about not just Delaware Valley, this whole region. You're talking about having to turn on the water and let it run in order to get it to be hot?
Correct.
I do not know how to solve that issue. I don't know if our water utility has an idea for it. It is an ongoing. I don't know the answer to that. But what I do want to, do you have the answer? No. Okay. Does somebody have an answer to that?
So we haven't got the mechanicals. We haven't designed the mechanical systems. We're not sure if we're going to use the central system in with a chiller. And that would possibly allow us to have a boiler and hot water, but so we haven't gotten that far at this point yet. But that's something that we're looking into, and we'll be determining that.
No, thank you, because I think this is really a concern that we need for new types of luxury items that to save water and water conservation. I mean, that's a direction that most of us ought to be studying.
Agreed. I do want to point out, it was in my notes and I missed it on the water conservation. Multifamily residential, when we talk about population growth and needing more population to kind of support these types of developments, multifamily actually uses half the amount of water as single family residential does. So when we talk about increasing population and creating opportunities for folks in a more water conservation mind, the multifamily versus, I'm not suggesting we only develop multifamily, but when it comes to water conservation, based on the town's water study and the capacity rates that are used, multifamily uses about half of what single family residential does. Toby has an answer for the water.
A lot of the newer water heaters are on demand right at the fixture, the sinks. So whatever the newest technology is, we'll be implementing. But a lot of them are much quicker. So,
if I may, Chair Gamble, perhaps to help the commission a bit. These are all good questions. I really want to kind of back us up a little bit and refocus where we are in the overall development process. Very briefly, if I could break the development process into three phases. First phase is getting permission for the use and the concept. That's where we are today. The second phase, if that's approved ultimately, is the applicant will do these detailed analysis for building permits. So the fire code aspects are applied to the nth degree. The water conservation requirements in our international building code are all applied. And so the applicant really smartly needs to go through phase one. And then their planning team will start work on phase two, and ultimately phase three is actually constructing and inspections. So really, again, our focus tonight is on the four agenda items, which really involve zoning entitlements, the ability to build and position structures where they're proposed. So I hope that helps. Thanks.
Okay, did we have any other questions from commissioners? Okay, I think we are all good then. If we have no other questions, I am going to turn the time over to Michael Spade for a planning update. Mr. Vella, planning update.
So the update happens to be very specific to this project. So the public hearing is scheduled for January 6, 6 p.m. here in Town Council Chambers. We will be noticing all of the neighbors that were previously noticed for the focus areas as well as the overall neighborhood meetings. As mentioned previously, we'll be working with the commission to schedule a site tour to review many aspects of what was discussed tonight. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Vella. And that, I just to clarify, that is on a Thursday, not our regular Tuesday. So I need reminders like that. So I'm going to say it for everyone on the record. It's a Thursday, not a Tuesday. And with that, can I have a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion that we adjourn.
Second?
I'll second that.
All right, meeting adjourned. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you for your time.